Datakshatrit Prashanto. Nivritam Viham Ekyavan. Tanimesha Katak Tlamaha. Ladies. Loud. The fan is very loud. Tataha, thereafter, kshut, by hunger, trit, thirst, prishrantaha, being too fatigued, nivritaha, having ceased, graham eyavan, came back to his home. Krita, taken, snana, bath, uchita, ahara, exactly required foodstuffs, samvishesha, took rest, gata, klamaha, freed from all fatigue. Translation. After this, the king, much fatigued, hungry, and thirsty, returned to his royal palace. After returning, he took a bath and had an appropriate dinner. Then he took rest and thus became freed from all restlessness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A materialistic person works throughout the whole week very, very hard. He is always asking, where is money? Where is money? Then, at the end of the week, he wants to retire from these activities and go to some secluded place to rest. King Paranjana returned to his home because he was very much fatigued from hunting animals in the forest in this way. His conscience came to stop him from committing further sinful activities and make him return home. In Bhagavad Gita, materialistic persons are described as duskritina, which means those who are always engaged in sinful activities. When a person comes to his senses and understands how he is engaging in sinful activities, he returns to his conscience, which is herein figuratively described as the palace. Generally, a materialistic person is infected by the material modes of passion and ignorance. The results of passion and ignorance are lust and greed. In the life of a materialist, activity means working in lust and greed. However, when he comes to his senses, he wants to retire. According to Vedic civilization, such retirement is positively recommended, and this portion of life is called vanaprastha. Retirement is absolutely necessary for a materialist who wants to become free from the activities of a sinful life. King Paranjana is coming home, taking bath, and having an appropriate dinner indicate that a materialistic person must retire from sinful activities and become purified by accepting a spiritual master and hearing from him about the values of life. If one would do this, he would feel completely refreshed, just as one feels after taking a bath. After receiving initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, one must abandon all kinds of sinful activities, namely illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. The word uchitaharaha used in this verse is important. Uchita means appropriate. One must eat appropriately and not take after food as hogs take to stool. For a human being, there are eatables described in Bhagavad Gita 17:8 as sattvika ahara, or food in the mode of goodness. One should not indulge in eating food in the modes of passion and ignorance. This is called uchitahara, or appropriate eating. One who is always eating meat or drinking liquor, which is eating and drinking in passion and ignorance, must give up these things so that his real consciousness may be awakened. In this way, one may become peaceful and refreshed. If one is restless or fatigued, one cannot understand the science of God, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:20. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Unless one can become free from the influence of passion and ignorance, he cannot be pacified. And without being pacified, one cannot understand the science of God. King Paranjana's returning home is indicative of a man's returning to his original consciousness, known as Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is absolutely necessary for one who has committed a lot of sinful activities, especially killing animals or hunting in the forest. So the verse again. Tatakshutrit parishranto nivrito griham evan krittasnano chatahara sanivesha katak. After this, the king, very much fatigued, hungry and thirsty, returned to his royal palace. After returning, he took a bath and had an appropriate dinner. Thus, he took rest. Then he took rest and thus became freed from all restlessness. Narada Muni is expert. He he knows just how to address each and every situation that Krishna provides for him to deliver Krishna consciousness to. In the bigger picture of this narration, King Prachinibari is in a line of kings from Swayambhuva Manu, going back to the earlier part of the third canto. The Swayambhuva Manu and the line of kings coming from Swayambhuva Manu and the great devotees in that line is the subject matter, the Manvantar. One of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam is to describe the Manus, 14 in each day of Brahma. And the first one that's presented is the first one in out of the 14. And the line of kings coming from Swayambhuva Manu, Uttanapada, and then his son Dhruva Maharaj, and each of the successive kings, that the history is being presented. And Narada very, very munificently and very, very expertly delivered each one of them. And he looked at this king in that same line, and somehow, although his ancestry was superlative, great, great, great devotees, he was also something of a devotee, but something also attached. So Narada went to teach him, but he saw how attached to fruitive activities, religious fruitive activities, karmakanda rituals. He was too much attached. So how do you address someone who is too much attached? You don't just right away. Prabhupada referred to the biblical metaphor, don't cast your pearls before swine. So he didn't right away give him pure devotional service, that message. He wasn't ready. Just like King Chittaketu. Angira also understood, and Narada understood. He wasn't ready for transcendental knowledge. So they had a different approach with King Chittaketu, and a different approach with each person. We should learn from Narada's example that each person is unique, and how to present the conclusion to each person is going to be different. Very important for Hare Krishna devotees, representatives of Lord Chaitanya and our disciplic succession, and presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam to others. So Narada understood, he's too attached. Someone who's too, just as it's said here, person is too much in passion and ignorance, they can't understand. So what did Narada do? He told the story. Everybody likes stories. And the story was about him, just with a different name, but it's kind of a generic him personality, a king who is searching for a queen, a soul too much attached to material enjoyment, needing material intelligence to fulfill material desires for material enjoyment. He needed a queen, and so forth. And once with his queen and with his palace, and he went out for his fruitive activities. In this case, the metaphor is hunting. And, you know, it's a metaphor, and it's also not a metaphor. It's animal killing. Fruitive activity. For my taste, for my satisfaction of my tongue, others can suffer. It's okay. And that's the way of fruitive activities also. Not by hook or by crook, get money. Do anything, get money. The unregulated persons, too much driven by passion, even they deviate from the religious way of securing their fruitive gains. It's just built into the system that you take the quality of goodness and pollute the goodness with passion. There's a very nice visual image for me. You have a big bucket of white paint. Take a small amount of, just an eyedropper of red paint, and squirt it into the red paint and mix it. What do you get? No longer white. It's off-white. And guess what? Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajoguna, Samudbhava. When you have passion, you get ignorance. because you have to be in ignorance to be in that mode, so it's mixed. So you squirt a little blue in and stir it up. What do you get? It's off-white, even more. But it doesn't stop there because the reaction for the passion is more passion. It's not only the activity, but the reaction for the activity. And it continues to mix that nice bucket of white paint until it's not recognizable anymore. It's not white anymore. It's not even off-white anymore. It's dark. That's how the modes of nature work. Or another nice visual image is a vortex or a whirlpool. The water is moving on the outer perimeter, but it goes down and down, and so you put something on the outer perimeter, and it moves slowly around and around, but as it moves around and around, it starts to go down, and when it goes down, it goes down very quickly. And next thing you know, it's very dark. And that's how the modes of nature work. So a person's too much attached or influenced by, but attached is the proper word too, attached in the mode of passion to fruitive activity. What is that? I want to enjoy. Too much. Ignorance and passion just follows. So there he is off in the forest doing his animal hunting, doing his mode of passion, mode of ignorance activity. That's the previous set of verses. Now he's come to his senses. Prabhupada is referring to a verse in Bhagavad Gita, this word duskriti, namam duskritina mudha, apadyante naradama. Mayaya Pratigrana Asarim Bhavam Ashrita. The pervading feature is duskriti. So it's a nice word. Kriti means merit. Even to be Hiranyakashipu, or to be a demon, to be a powerful demon, you need some kriti. But then kriti can be misused. Duskriti. Hiranyakashipu underwent great austerity. But for what purpose? I want to control. I'm in charge now of the universe. I bumped off the demigods. Now I'm ruling the universe, and I want to rule the universe forever. I'm God. So big austerity to become eternal, but you can't become eternal by austerity. So he used that merit for a harmful purpose. That's duskriti. And then sukriti is the other merit that's used for a good purpose, for elevation. So kriti, austerities, charity, and all those pious activities can be misused. Prabhupada would often describe the persons that build the demoniac civilization, they undergo a lot of austerity. A lot of austerity. For what end? Sense gratification. Passion and ignorance. Passion and ignorance. Big time. So, that person, in this case, Paranjana, this metaphorical king, that the sense gratifier personality, may at one point come to his senses. And that coming to his senses is to realize the happiness that I expected isn't happening. That I'm trying and trying and it's not happening. And not only that, to get the happiness, I'm doing sinful activity. And there's going to be responsibility for that sinful activity. Just as Narada helped Murari to understand there's responsibility for your sinful activity, your animal killing. Go ask your family members, if they're willing to share the responsibility for your sinful activity. That was actually Narada speaking to the hunter. Ask your, you want to rob us? Go ask your wife and children, are they willing to accept the responsibility, a portion of the responsibility for your sinful activities? No way. No way. Really, sinful reactions from my sinful activities. Well, maybe I better do something about it. Persons that are really dull doesn't mean anything to them. And persons that are a little elevated, it means something to them. It may be very difficult for them to maintain that position of, I better do something about it. So one needs the proper kind of association and the proper kind of activity to replace it. Just like this verse that's being presented here from the first canto, Evam Prasanna Manaso, Bhagavat Bhakti Yogataha. This is describing the position of a purified state of consciousness. Prasanna Manasa. The mind, when the mind is purified and feeling very satisfied. Prasanna. But the verse that's immediately preceding that is where the modes of tadarajastamobhava kama lobhadayasya cheta etayanaditam stitvam satve prasidati. Then this one. Evam. The modes of passion and ignorance have to be reduced. And go back more verses. That the process is that of devotional service. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayati Asho Vairagyam Gyanam Chayadahai to come. By engaging in devotional service, one becomes elevated. And in that position of devotion, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam, this series of verses. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati. I like the word Bhavati. Bhavati is like voila. Like phew. It just appears. Devotion to Krishna appears when one engages in hearing and chanting about the personality of Godhead. So King Prachinibhari, he wasn't ready. He was wanting fruitive activities, like many people. When we try to introduce, oh, I don't have time for this. Unless it shows me how I'm going to make some money, I don't have time. You know, there's different ways of different types of people to give that answer. If it's from New York, they just hang up the phone or walk away. You know, it isn't going to make money. You're wasting my time. They're gone. Someone may be a little more sophisticated and say it or do it in a different way. And book distribution people will often say, I don't have time. Would you take this book? I don't have time. And Prabhupada writes in Ishopanishad, it's true, they don't have time. Because the nature of the external energy is when someone bahir mukhajib, when one turns one's attention away from Krishna, then they're engaged in the material energy. And the material energy keeps them so busy. It's true, they don't have time. And they look at the option of devotional service and they don't have time. But just by turning one's attention again to Krishna, the time energy works different. There's time. We all have the experience. I'm sure when we started thinking, oh, how am I going to chant 16 rounds? Whatever our life was made up of, we didn't have time. And then somehow we just, oh, I'm going to do it. And then it was, because the time energy works differently, the external energy slackens and it becomes the internal energy. And the internal energy facilitates devotional service. The time is there. In fact, our whole life, the internal energy is accessible. But one who is too much influenced by passion and ignorance, the external energy keeps one busy, busy, busy. Fruitive activity. Where is money? Where is money? Or hunting in the forest. How does one get relief from that? The Bhagavatam gives us that message, the process of devotional service. Shrinvatasva kata Krishna, punya shravana kirtana, hridyantakstoya badrani, vidhunoti surit satam. Very nice process. If one, the light goes on and says, there's something wrong with this other program. I need to make some changes. And in the association of devotees, bhajana kriya, the activities of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Just as Narada went out of his way, he's our sankirtan leader. He went out of his way to meet the king and didn't just say, okay, here's japa beats. I mean, that wasn't the process at that time anyway, but he began by helping the king understand the futility of his fruitive activities. That hard knot has to be cut. And the remembrance of Krishna, and the topics of Krishna that bring the remembrance of Krishna, cuts the knot. Hridaya granti, the hard knot of material affinity for trying to be the enjoyer of matter. In the purport, Prabhupada puts a pin on this word uchita ahara. Uchita means appropriate, and ahara is eating. So appropriate eating. If one wants to purify oneself, I'm thinking now of some recent, I was just visiting in China. I guess I can, they know I'm there anyway, so I can say it. But just in China, and meeting some new people who are just beginning to practice Krishna consciousness, they asked, what are some things that I should do to begin? Well, this is helpful for all of us. How do you instruct somebody to begin? And Rupa Goswami is our teacher of devotional service, and the process begins with controlling the tongue. And if you control the tongue, you can control the other senses. So, three things. A little bit every day chant. There was a teenage girl, and you know, struggling. You know, teenage life is a struggle. She was, not unlike other teenagers, she was struggling. How do I begin? I'm suffering, I'm struggling, I'm not happy. I see the devotees are happy, how do I begin? So, chant, read, and take only Krishna prasadam. Control the tongue, vibrating and tasting. Prabhupada makes reference to the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna describes the same thing, sattvika ahara, or eating foods in the mode of goodness. And that's connected because chapter 17 is divisions of faith. It's connected with faith. To have faith that if I just take Krishna prasadam, you know, I'm a teenage kid or youth, boy or girl, and I'm spun out because teenage life is like that. And I don't like being spun out. And here's this person saying, just take Krishna prasadam. To follow like that requires some faith. And that's what Krishna is describing in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17. In essence, Arjuna begins the chapter by asking, if people don't have faith in you, don't they have faith in something else? Or in other words, is not faith intrinsic to the soul? And Krishna's answer is yes. If they don't have faith in me, they have faith according to the modes of nature. Because faith is intrinsic to the soul. If you identify with matter, then your faith will come out accordingly. Modes of nature will influence your faith. But if faith is placed in Krishna, then the modes of nature subside. Place your faith in Krishna. That's where it belongs. And then right away, the first thing he speaks about is food also is in the modes of influence by the modes of nature. So just to take Krishna prasadam and just to chant Hare Krishna, it's a matter of faith. Where do we place our faith? And we know what is the circumstance or the outcome of those that don't place their faith in Krishna. Mogasha, moga karmano, moga jnana vicheta saha. You're finished before you even get started. Defeated. That's what mog means. You're beaten up before you even get out of the box. Before you get out of bed, you're beaten up. You're a loser. Hello? We don't want to be losers, but if you don't have faith in Krishna, then you're a loser. Before you even try something, what to speak of everything that you try? It's defeated. Defeated by the material energy. Mogasha, your desires. Moga jnana, your knowledge. Your activity. Everything is defeated. So that's not a good option. What's the other option? The option is place your faith in Krishna. And therefore, uchita, ahara, when his consciousness is drawn again to his constitutional position, one of the first things is proper eating. Eating that which is uchita, appropriate. So, mode of goodness is appropriate, and even more appropriate is Krishna prasadam. Because that's what's appropriate for the soul. Although the nourishment is for the body, because it's been offered to Krishna, it will spiritualize the body. It's appropriate. It's what we should be selecting as our food, our activity. And one other point, it's introduced by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, which is, there was something that brought him out of the forest. And one, he was fatigued, but very determined materialist, that doesn't stop them. Fatigue doesn't stop them. One of my favorite demons is Charasandha. Man, he was determined. He was defeated and defeated and defeated and humiliated. And we should learn a nice lesson from Charasandha. He was so determined. If we were as determined in devotional service as Charasandha was determined to defeat Krishna, we'd be pure devotees really fast. Really determined. But look at the world. The world is filled with such people. Very determined. They're getting beaten up and they're so determined to make happiness in a place of unhappiness. To bring light into a place of darkness. To bring enjoyment in a place of suffering. They're so determined. I'll just, a little anecdotal. I was traveling in America one time just before Y2K. You know, when there was all this prediction, all the computers are going to stop, and because they set the timers on them that they would, you know, in the year 2000. And people were, they were there was big money being spent to, like, fix the computer problem and so on and so on. And this was in, it was in 1998. I was going to visit a temple for Christmas Day. So I left New York. It was just really quickly. It was a 6 a.m. departure on Christmas morning. The lines waiting to get into the airport on Christmas morning were out onto the street at 6 a.m. I mean, it was 4:35 in the morning on Christmas morning. And then there was a connection, you know, get out of one plane and get another plane and connection. And that was in Minneapolis. It was with Northwest, so that's their hub. So I got out and, you know, went to the transit to get to the next flight. The airport was packed at 8 o'clock in the morning on Christmas morning. All the shops, people sitting down eating. And I thought, man, Americans and all over the world, people are so determined. Nothing's going to stop them. They're going to enjoy. They'll struggle and struggle and struggle, no matter what. Very determined. We should be so determined. I thought, whatever's going to happen, it's going to be all right, because too much determination to be enjoyers. So, something pulled him back from that position of being the dog stubborn, Prabhupada would sometimes use the phrase, sense gratifier, sense enjoyer, fruitive activity person. And that's his conscience. And conscience is a prompt from the Supersoul. A signal that says, don't go that way, go this way. Don't turn left, turn right. And the call brought him back to his palace, which is metaphorically his original consciousness. But before you can get to your original consciousness, there has to be some conscience that says, that's not right, and this is right. So, in one sense, intrinsically, there is faith that we really belong with Krishna. And this trying to be an independent enjoyer of Krishna is foolhardy. It's a loser. It's very, very, very foolish. I'll tell another little story. This when I was a small boy, there was a toy that kids got, because it was like, you know, like now it's something digital, some little Game Boys and things like that. So when I was little, it was something else. It was a Jack in the Box. I don't know if you had those in Australia or South Africa or out of other places. But it was a little box, a little metal box, rectangular like this. And you wound it up in the back, you know, little manual, you wound it up. And then you press a button in the front. The top would pop open. And this Joker person on a spring, little, you know, wearing a Joker outfit, just a spring inside, and it would make a noise. And the kids would, you know, we sat around the box, and we all laughed. We stuck the guy back in the box, lashed the box, and wound it up again, and who was going to touch the thing in the front, and every time it was the same thing. Jack in the Box. We could do it for hours. And then you come back the next day and do it again, because it was fun. And, you know, grow up and you just do the same thing in material activity. It's just, you know, making fun of you. Punch you in the nose. And that's material life. At some point, you wake up and say, wow, this is really a waste of time. I'm getting punched in the nose every time I do this. You know, Jarasandha, how many times did he have to lose? So, the story is being told to King Prachinibari so that we can hear the story that fruitive activities are really painful. It's not enjoyment. And there is an alternative. that calling, that conscience that says there is another position, a natural position. So Prabhupada speaks of that natural position. Then what do? You hear from spiritual master and you take up proper activity and stop your sinful activity. Engage in hearing and chanting. Srinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vridyantakstoya. Engage in the process of devotional service properly. So instead of just quoting those verses to the king, he's telling this nice story about himself. King Paranjana, a metaphorical sense of gratifier. I've gone for nearly an hour, and I'll end there and see if there's any comments or questions. You've got a comment? Question?
Wisdom.
Yeah.
You talk about the spiritual master, when a disciple takes initiation, he should stop sinful activities.
That's right. Even before.
My question is there any role in the initiation to help a disciple to stop sinful activity? It's like only the disciple has to work on himself.
It's like a disciple what?
Have to work on himself to stop sinful activity.
Okay.
So why is the initiation not assisting a disciple to stop sinful activity?
What's the impetus?
The initiation. Initiation.
What's your question? Say the whole question. Say one sentence.
One question is, why is initiation not helping a disciple to stop sinful activity?
I couldn't hear.
Why doesn't initiation stop a disciple from...
Ah. Because there's free will. And free will can be misused. Initiation is I make a commitment. I will no longer misuse. But still there's free will. So initiation is as effective as the submission of the disciple. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes this in one initiation lecture that was transcribed. He explains that at initiation, the essence of it is submission and acceptance. Proportionate to the degree of submission, the experience of each devotee will be different at the initiation. And then he describes that after some time, if submission slackens, then again, the prior influence that is he is protected from by that submission and acceptance is removed. The protection is removed. And again, that person will resume the very same activities that he left before. And we find that. Now, what your favorite variety of the modes of nature is, whatever that is, not, you know, any one of us, that resumes. The influence continues. The blades of the fan again start to turn because we plug back into the material energy. So the potency is there to be freed from, but the submission is are receiving that potency, protection. Is that all right? So now you know what to do, right? Ongoingly, continuous submission. And if you see somebody struggling, help them connect to the submission process again. That's what we do. That's how we can be a friend of other Vaishnavas and a servant. Yes?
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your nice class. We know in the Prabhupada Pranam Mantra, Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschyat Desatarena.
Yeah.
So Srila Prabhupada went to West to deliver the Nirvisesvadi and the Sunyavadi. But now in India we saw so many Sunyavadi, Mayavadi, Nirakaravadi, Nirvisesvadi.
Too many.
Yeah, so how they can be delivered?
How what?
How they can be delivered?
Well, you just read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya asks that question. And it's very difficult. So one of our procedures is look into our weapon bag, and one of them is prasadam. Keep giving such a person prasadam. That's one. So they become purified. Or depending upon your capacity, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did with Prakashananda Saraswati. He took a very humble position, and he presented the conclusion of the scriptures in such an amazing way that Prakashananda Saraswati accepted, and so did his followers accept. You have that potency, you can do that. And if we don't have the potency, at least prasadam and the chanting of the holy name. And one of the most important things that we can do to defeat impersonalism and voidism is to be exemplary in Vaishnavachar. I just came from China, and impersonalism is pervasive. I mean, Buddhism and varieties of that ideology, many different varieties in the garden of impersonalism. But one of the things that they're very attracted to is the qualities of the devotees. They're attracted to prasadam, but they're attracted to the qualities of the devotees. Sometimes that's more compelling than anything you can say for someone that has an impersonal conception. So they may not be able to right away get the personal conception, but they're attracted to the qualities of the devotees. That's very helpful, very powerful. I suggest you want to explore it in more detail. Read in Chaitanya Charitamrita where it describes Adi Lila. Lord Chaitanya is contemplating how to rescue these people. Congregational chanting. Krishna prasadam. Vaishnav behavior. Consistent and genuine. Those are all compelling, powerful tools. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Pujolinda Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj ki jai.